You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everyone. Annie here for Showreel, 3CR's look at Australian moving image production. Before we get on to the business end of the program, just a reminder that June is Radiothon month here at 3CR. Next week, Thursday the 11th, is the Radiothon program date for Showreel. If you are listening and enjoying, think of putting a little towards my $1,100 contribution to the mega total $300,000, which keeps our airways buzzing. Today, we're chatting with filmmaker Guy Wilkinson and the subject of his most recent documentary, In the Making, Human Fly Magazine. The maker is Gabriel Olivier Hernandez, and the documentary is screening at the upcoming Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, which is running online from the 1st to the 31st of July and in Cinema Nova from the 7th to the 19th of July. Guy is all about the artist spirit, and Gabrielle's zine is a homage to the wild side of rockabilly. Thanks very much for coming in. Tell me, Guy, what made you decide to make a film about the human fly?
I had done a series of films that weren't connected, and I really liked the idea of creating a framework where a concept was unified by a theme, and that theme was how people make, create, and restore things. I devised it as 5 to 10 minute films that were character portraits, essentially, but linked by this theme of creativity. And I happened to be listening to a show called Didiwa on NTS Radio. Great show, by the way. Check it out. After hearing that show, Gabriel happened to be on an episode, and I was just really taken by the idea of this zine, and he seemed thoughtful and eloquent. Now that I've got to know him better, I think he was just having a good day. But I reached out to him, and we met at Pellegrini's in the city, and I think it was a bit like that scene in Heat, you know, where De Niro and Pacino face off in the diner. It's pretty intense. It was...
a parallel play, because that's how Pellegrini's works.
I was coming out like straight after work, and I work in a really gross little kitchen. So I came out, rushed out, all dirty, and. Yeah, met him, but I felt like it was like in a mob movie. We were all meeting up at this coffee place. Yeah, but it was great. It was from the first interview episode I did with Didiwa. Well, I brought in some records. I was quite nervous because I've never been, and at that time the magazine was still quite small. Like, it was still very local. So for me, being on the radio was like something that's like, okay, I thought I'd hit it like big time now. And that's where, like, meeting Guy from there was just incredible, because it was
One thing leads to another.
Yeah, a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah. But the other thing about it is that, as you said, you work in a kitchen, but you've got a big imagination. You're a trained artist, but the film starts off with you guys. You talking about, Gabrielle talking about how you're really interested in rockabilly artists that aren't sanitized.
Yeah.
And that's what you're after, isn't it?
That's it. Last year I was doing my final year of uni, and I was trying to think of a project to do, and I just knew that I loved music, and I really got into a band called The Cramps, and they just seemed to really understand what rock and roll was all about. And taking those early rockabilly guys and like taking what made them so wild and special and unique. And I just thought that we could definitely use something that's like that energy back in the music scene today.
Your way to the old bar.
Yeah, that's right. We became obsessed with that music, and then we were able to bring that music sort of on, or even not even the music, but just that attitude. Showcase bands that still have that, showcase bands that care about that, people that care about it, and just bring them back and make them feel, you know, make them important again. I think that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and that's what you did with the zine. So you, as I was saying to you off mic, I mean, I've had lots to do with people who were really interested in making zines, and there was a whole period of my life where I had a love affair with typefaces and stuff like that. So I really actually know what you're doing, but you are a modern artist because you use Adobe and you use a whole range of different ways of bringing the same kind of grunge, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's I grew up loving hand drawings, and once I got into my design course at uni, I started learning how to use like the Adobe programs, how to use like Procreate on the iPad. And as much as I'd love to do this all hand drawn, if I want to get these out in a timely fashion, I just thought I'd have to use the skills that I was taught in my degree. And thankfully, you know, my degree helped me a lot.
Well, it does, because people were always trying to make something that looked professional. I mean, in the past, people used Gestetners to get stuff across. Now that's, you know, spirit ink on pretty vile quality paper. So that was all about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But your production, your zine that you've created is actually quite a high art, isn't it?
Well, I tried my best, right? But yeah, you know, I've got a photographer now with me and stuff. So we're trying to build this, and they're all my mates from uni that all can't get jobs like me up in the industry. So we're all looking like we can all help each other. But that's sort of what I want, because these people are like me in a sense. We were all like up and coming designers in a very tough job market that all have really creative ways of expressing themselves that sometimes you can't use because you have to get into a paying job quickly, you know, and then compete with the rest of the people doing the same thing. So this magazine.
So you're talking about freedom.
Yeah, it kind of helps us. Like, I've always liked unconventional artsy punk DIY design. It's almost like even at uni, like, they try to keep us quite straight on the path.
Yeah, because you're supposed to get a job,
you know?
And you're supposed to remember who's paying the bills.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, right? But I find that, like, the idea of doing, like, a branding for, like, a big corporate brand just doesn't excite me the way that, you know, doing a sketchy little fly drawing on a page.
Well, yeah,
does,
tell us about your fly man.
Oh, well, you know, it comes from the song Human Fly by The Cramps. And the songs are basically about this like disgusting, weird little rock and roll creature that everyone finds like horrifying because he's into like this like rock and roll stuff. And I just thought,
it's like in The Fly, you know, the film.
Yeah, like
save me.
Exactly like in the film. So I took that and I wanted like a sort of a recognizable thing, like Mad Magazine had. You know, it's their brand of the kid. I wanted to have something like that, so I made like a little rock and roll fly man based on that song, and he's just become like a little. He pops up everywhere now.
Yeah, of course he can. And Guy, you actually met Gabriel at the point when he'd done his first edition. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I think Gabriel was just working on issue number 2 when we met, so that was still a work in progress at the time.
Yeah, which is great because it means that we got this. Oh, I made 5 copies, and then people wanted to buy them.
Yeah, I love that aspect. I love that he was just following his heart, and it's started taking off. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, so do I. I think it's just so good, and it means that you have an organic audience.
Yeah. It's actually kind of incredible to think about, because I really thought that like I'm the only person into this stuff, you know, and the fact that, you know, I would be on Didi Wa's show, and then I met Guy, and then people wanted to be at the launch party, and the launch party turned out, had a great turnout. All these, and the magazine keeps selling, and it's just like, it's almost like I'm fighting to keep up, because I didn't think that it would ever come this far, and that there were ever going to be this many people interested in what we have to say and what we have to show. But it just goes to show that there's still a lot of rock and roll rebels out there, I guess, waiting for something like this to happen. I don't know, something like that.
I think you're right. I also, the thing about it is if you go to the product itself, which I have not seen, so I've seen the pictures, mm-hmm. and we've obviously, but tell me about the writing, you know, what do you put in it?
Oh, that was actually the challenging part.
Yeah, because you're a visual man, right?
Yeah, it still is, actually. Like, I find that I have to give myself a bit of time to do the writing, because I do want to make it good. I want to make it very professional. I want to be, I've been like reading up on music journalism and reading other people's articles that I really admire, but it's not my forte. So I've had to like really like bear down and teach myself how to write properly about me, but also keep that sort of like, yeah, the thing that made it fun to begin with, the fact that
sort of innocence.
Yeah, the thing that it's like, I'm not a professional critic, so I guess I can see and talk about things in a way that doesn't have to be so.
No, but you can actually write it in the way that you receive it.
Yeah, which I love, and I like to mix both of them. I like every article to have sort of a point of resolution. I don't want it to just be. Sometimes I find that I can tend to just mindlessly ramble on about facts and like, okay, let's you know, bring it
settle
back
down,
and narrow it down to what I want to really say. So that still is the more difficult thing. The design aspect I can actually get done like in half the time, because they just come to me,
yep.
a lot quicker, and I just have ideas a lot quicker. But the writing is still the most challenging thing. And I've got another writer on hand now, which is a lot of help, because also doing this all on my own to the same standard is quite tiring sometimes. So now I've got some help.
As I got a garbage brain that's driving me insane, and I don't like a ride, so push that pesticide. And baby, I won't care, cause baby, I don't scare, cause I'm a reborn maggot using dream warfare. Rock. Fly. And I don't know why, and I don't know why, but I say, rock tonight, and I say, rock it right, and I say, but I don't know why, just don't know why.
We know you love listening to 3CR, but we also know that many of you haven't downloaded the Community Radio Plus app yet.
The app lets you tune in anywhere and share the station with your friends.
So, show the love and share the love and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Hi, I'm Judith Ehrlich. I'm the director of the film, The Boys Who Said No, Draft Resistance in the Vietnam War. I'm really pleased to be here on 3CR. I'm an old listener-sponsored radio producer myself and worked at the first listener-sponsored station in the world, KPFA Berkeley, part of the Pacifica Network. So good work. Keep it up. Thanks.
You're on 3CR Showreel with Annie, and we are chatting with filmmaker Guy Wilkinson and the subject of his most recent documentary in the making, Human Fly magazine, Gabrielle Olivia Hernandez. In a way, everything that's happened to you has happened incidentally, in the sense that you started off with an idea. I mean, you did your course, but you came up with an idea. You developed it. You did it, and then one thing led to another, as in the film, for example. The fact that more than one person wanted to read the first edition led to the second edition.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming there's going to be a third.
It is. It's on its way.
That's right. So that means that then you also realised that you had compatriots, and so your whole friendship base has increased.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met so many great people that I like see even without the mag. Like, just we go, like, Guy and I have gone to gigs together just to, you know,
just because you like each other.
Just because we became, you know, because we met and now we've got stuff in common. That's another thing that was great. It's just like I was able to meet other weird, as I say in the magazine, other weird artist bugs out there that are also not only helpful for the magazine, but just doing their own great, awesome things that, like, I would never have found out about maybe if I hadn't had this magazine that helped us connect, I guess. And the movie was like something that was like also surreal, like, it's like someone's documentary about me. I don't know. Now that I'm in it, it's like, again, I'm
lucky you're a nice guy. It hasn't gone to your head.
No, it's still, I'm very appreciative of it all, because it just, again, like a year ago, I was facing down my last semester of uni. I genuinely had no idea what I was going to do. I knew that, like, I liked uni because I was able to still have fun with my design. And I knew that I hated having to do, like, corporate branding design. And that was, like, kind of what, like,
the only alternative
I was going to have to do and listen. So it's like I needed something to, I guess, show me another way out. And, you know, a year later, it's pretty incredible that we're going to have this documentary film about this little uni project, you know, come out, and people are going to see it and people are going to hear about the magazine and in a place that I never thought we'd be able to find ourselves in, you know?
Well, just to put things in a practical frame, with your third edition, what's the run going to be?
Third edition is almost done. It'll be like, I can't give too much away, but it will be in the next.
And you don't.
Months,
and so, from what I'm getting from you there is that you're not. You don't set yourself targets that are not unrealistic. Like, you don't say, I'm going to have one out every month, or...
Yeah, it's just not possible. Because I need to, like, set up. And I'm like, I haven't really taken a break since the first one.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
And I'm happy. I love being busy, you know, it gives me stuff to do. But yeah, I do need to set myself a due date, which is what we're working on now.
Yeah.
I think it's a realistic one. And I think it gives us... I've got trouble concentrating and sitting still and bearing down, but having something concrete is like, okay. Like,
yeah, that's what you're aiming for.
Yeah, you can't.
But it's not going to be the end of the world if it doesn't happen, because it's almost finished. But how big is the run? Now I go back to my original question.
This second issue has sold about 150. And then the first issue, because I wasn't planning on selling it, I've actually generally lost count, but it's about I can kind of gauge it's about 170.
Yeah, yeah.
This
so we're talking
one,
about overall about 200.
Yeah, and recently we just got distribution in Europe.
Oh, wow.
And because apparently the Europeans really dig it as well. And I've started getting them into some stores here in Melbourne instead of just being online orders. So I'm at least going to print the same amount of the third one.
How are you financing this?
I work for 4 or 5 days a week in my crappy kitchen job, and
maybe you'll get a return.
You know, so I save as much as I can from there, and obviously the magazine does when it sells, and it does help Tons go straight in the savings for the.
This is genuine art. Yeah. So, Guy, this is what it's about, isn't it? Genuine art.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there's perhaps a lot of pressure these days to toe the line, and you know, with the cost of living and everything. But I just think it's fantastic when people do just go after what they're genuinely interested in. That really people can really respond to that, and opportunities can arise from it.
Yeah.
As Gabriel is a case study here.
That's very nice.
Yeah. It's a great project of yours too, to decide to champion the free spirits.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm just interested in how people find meaning and purpose in life. I'm much more interested in the why than the how, I think. So yeah, it seems like a good fit, this project. I'd like to find a variety of creators, and hopefully they've got great stories to tell as well as the art itself.
Well, it's interesting because, Gabriel, you're a nice person. You're an interesting person.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming that other people will be too.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is, but I think even since meeting Guy and this whole back and forth that we've had with the magazine and the documentary, it's something that it's popped up a lot with the people I've met. It's so many people that are just nice and have this sort of mentality of like, we can help each other in this, like, as you say, in these times of awful cost of living crisis and these times of like uncertainty, art seems to be like sometimes seen as like not a necessity on, because we have like other big things to worry about. But this whole mentality of like, we help each other, you know, like you make the documentary film about me and I'll post about you all over social media, put you in the magazine or whatever, like, so we can both get, you know, build ourselves up. That's kind of what it's all about. And the band's the same thing. The bands that I talk about promote the magazine, talk about, tell their friends, and I promote them, you know. And it's like a, yeah, so we just kind of like exchange favors, I guess, with each other. And that helps everyone, you know, helps everyone. And it helps Melbourne, I think, in the long run, because this is probably the coolest thing that we've got that drives people to come to this city over all the other ones in Australia, that's our music, our art, our, you know, community sense here. It's just, it's different, and it's really, really cool. Really, really cool, I think.
Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, the film, documentary film festival, we are premiering our film on the...
It's the 7th of July opening night at Cinema Nova at 8:30 is the kickoff, I believe.
We're going to be wearing with the running with other bunch of other short films by other very talented filmmakers. So yeah, you catch the human fly, then you also catch a whole bunch of other really, really interesting, really, really interesting film projects by other people. Issue 3 is coming next couple months. Stay tuned for the release date. And if you know, if you're listening, you're interested, DM me on Instagram, humanflymag_, and get yourself your copy of issue 1 or 2, because I still have a few left over.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for Showreel. Just a reminder that Radiothon is coming. Any donations are tax deductible. You can ring into the station or go online to donate. And if you enjoy Showreel, doff your hat to us when you donate for my tally. We're going to go out with two of the artists who played at the Old Bar in Johnson Street, Fitzroy, at the Friday the 13th of March launch of the second edition of Human Fly magazine. First, Plastic Section, which is billed as a shaking trio from Melbourne who play rock and roll inspired by a wild rockabilly, dirty garage, rock and roar, rhythm and blues, followed by Maquila Peligrosa, who sling a high-impact blend of psychedelic mutant garage with surf and punk overtones. It's them playing Wild Chased by Goons. Coming up next is Published or Not.
Your life. This is one rat race I've got my heart in.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.